This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
Hello, Jan Vermeulen.
Good afternoon or evening. I guess it's getting dark so early.
It is. Round about midday. Jan, do you remember dancing to Toy Dolls' Nelly the Elephant?
Of course, yes. But it would perhaps surprise you to learn that most of my dancing to Nelly the Elephant happened inside clubs.
Yes.
And not in living rooms.
Yeah, no.
When I was a kid.
This was a club song. This was something that we listened to at the Doors and, you know, all these different nightclubs that we used to go to.
Yeah, definitely not a kid song. Oh, and by the way, you were asking for a definition of the difference between load shedding and a power outage.
Yes.
Load shedding is scheduled,
yes.
and so that's a scheduled power cut, whereas a power outage is unplanned, and often, unfortunately, in Johannesburg, outage, an unplanned, unscheduled breakdown is caused by often cable theft. So, or some other, you know, damage to infrastructure. So it's not just that something's tripped and needs to be switched back on. It's that something has broken, and
it's called ESCOM.
Either caused by cable theft, which then causes stuff to break down the line, or the load shedding itself causes stuff to break.
Jan, a few weeks ago we were talking about Lynbrough Park. This is a
yes.
suburb that last year had 66 days of no electricity over and
yes.
above what they had with load shedding, right? And
yes.
they said,
yeah.
we're fed up, we've had enough, we are actually applying to NERSA to grant us a license to generate our own electricity. Are there any updates with that?
I haven't heard anything further. The matter still has to be finalized, a ruling on it. But it's also really funny to hear ESCOM's counter argument to that for folks who missed our discussion. It's like, no, it wasn't 66 days, it was only 29 days.
Like, that's acceptable. How's that acceptable?
Yeah, unbelievable. And so, yeah, there was I heard an interesting discussion also on radio with somebody explaining, you know, ESCOM's side of the story and why it is opposing the application at NERSA. But yeah, it was a very difficult sell.
Sure.
On the one hand, ESCOM and many others in the industry are pushing for greater involvement of private producers. But now here's a suburb that wants to go completely off grid and completely off of ESCOM's grid, and suddenly it wants to block it. And, you know, one of the arguments is that essentially you can't have two chefs.
Why can't you have two chefs?
You can't have two distribution networks. And honestly, it sounds more and more to me like the kinds of arguments Telkom made in the mid and late 90s when the internet started becoming a big thing. And why it should Telkom? Right.
It's to hold us to ransom as well. Absolutely.
Yeah, and why they should monopolize the infrastructure and stuff. Obviously, there are differences, but wow, the similarities are striking.
So it's so interesting, and I'd be interested to see how this is going to pan out. You know, we have been trying to get an interview with NERSA to find out their decision-making process, because from what I can establish, they have 6 board members, of which 2 are part-time.
Yes.
Why is nobody holding NERSA accountable? Their responsibility is to enable our power generating facilities.
Yeah, and honestly, our whole regulatory environment in South Africa is under-resourced. It's not staffed by people with deep enough experience in the fields that they're regulating. You know, all the ones that I've had to deal with, you know, which is, you know, ICASA, NERSA, and then, you know, the Consumer Commission, and even the Information Regulator. The Information Regulator, there are very competent people there, but they just don't have the resources to do what they need to do, and they're not empowered to do what they need to do. So where there are competent people, there's not enough resources. And then there's also, you know, the duo of having people who are not competent and don't have the resources to do what they need to do. The other regulator that comes to mind is the Film and Publications Board,
yes.
Which has also been quite controversial of late. So yeah, no, it's every time a new law gets drafted that says we're going to create a new regulator, I just hang my head because I'm, you know,
I can believe
it's like
you.
A new commission. Let's launch a new commission.
Yeah. It is exactly. Somewhat frustrating.
And the Consumer Commission is one example of something like the Public Protector's Office that should be a champion of the public, and they honestly try, but then they try to do things that just have the most far-reaching consequences. Like, for example, they stepped into an ICASA hearing the one year and said, oh, all data bundles in South Africa need to last 3 years. And, you know, that sounds great on paper until you realize that's going to cause prices to go up tenfold.
And it becomes a capacity issue as well.
Absolutely. So, Jan, tell us about Google Maps and hiding your house. Why? What is that?
Yeah, this was such an interesting thing to come up. But yeah, I mean, there are going to be some folks out there who do not want their house, you know, visible from or some other private piece of information visible in Google Maps. And so the Google Street View car has infamously caught people in compromising positions and drives past people's houses and stuff. And so, yeah, there's a whole procedure to get your, you know, whatever Google Street View image blurred and removed from Google Street View. And it's not the only one. Bing Maps and Apple Maps offer similar kinds of procedures. Google's is a lot more mature, which is to be expected because they've been doing it for a lot longer. But something that came to mind was there's a British comedian, Jack Whitehall, who tells a story, because obviously it's, you know, that nothing is as funny as something that happens to you in real life, where they were touring Amsterdam, a boy's road trip to Amsterdam, and one of his friends offers him a joint. And the Google, as like he's standing there with a joint in his hand as the Google Street View car comes past, and he even shows the photo in his show.
Oh,
and,
my God.
Yeah, and he had that blurred. He had his face blurred in that photo. Google, I think, blurs faces by default.
You're right.
Except for bodies. There have been two bodies that were found on Google Maps, right? Do you remember?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, there's an example of something that you might not want to appear on Google Maps and want them to censor. But also, you know, high-profile individuals who have themselves personally targeted by mobs, online mobs or whatever else, you know, might just prefer to have their
privacy image
not publicly visible on Google Maps. So that feature is available.
This Dis-Chem data breach with the 3.7 million client records that have been exposed.
Yes, yet another data breach, you know. So to Dis-Chem's credit, they disclosed as early as they possibly could, and they also made clear that this is a third party that caused the breach. So they had contracted a third party to develop a database, and it contained first names and surnames, email addresses, and cell phone numbers. They assured no financial information or any other personally identifying information, no physical addresses or anything like that. But still, a list of first names, surnames, email addresses, cell phone numbers, contact details could still be quite valuable for someone looking for just a database to cold call and perhaps try phishing attacks on. And it's not completely useless in further attacks, in getting more information about people from which then to launch attacks from and that sort of thing. But it's unfortunately another leak of people's personal information in South Africa, and it's I think at least the third leak that I've heard of in the past year that involved the third party.
Yeah.
So the third party is undisclosed in this case, but in previous cases, a debt collecting agency for companies like Telkom had data leaked. And, you know, we've had situations where actual employees at those companies, you know, go and leak the data, and then they get caught, and now they have to face justice. And hopefully the stories of people getting caught will be enough to dissuade this kind of activity in future.
Not likely. Jan, just before you go, I do have to tell you that today, and I think that you are, more than anybody else I know would probably appreciate this, is that today is a very historic day. Today is the end of an era. In New York City today, the city's last remaining payphone was removed.
Oh, wow. How
crazy.
That's iconic. One of my favorite movies of all time, I know people are going to judge me for is a film called Hackers.
Payphones are such
an important fixture
in
New York City.
It was.
So Hackers takes place in New York City. Payphones happen there. Yeah, but anyway.
Superman. What's he
going to
change into now? God help us. Jan Vermeulen, editor at mybroadband.co.za. Thank you so much. We'll catch up with you next Tuesday.